On the other hand, you can't contrast Luther's two kingdoms theology with Calvin for another reason. And that's because Calvin also speaks of the two kingdoms. At the end of his massive theological work, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, Calvin has a whole long chapter on political theory, and the first thing he talks about is the two kingdoms. Everybody talks about the two kingdoms in the 16th century, other than Anabaptists, and they get it all from, once again, Augustine, that 4th and 5th century Christian theologian who was so influential to everybody in the 16th century. Augustine spoke of two cities, the city of God and the earthly city, in his great book, The City of God. And that theory of two cities becomes, in the 16th century, the theory of the two kingdoms, which almost all Protestants share, except for the Anabaptists. We could mention, however, that the two kingdoms theory does function in contrast to Catholic political theory, especially in contrast to, say, the view that Pope Boniface VIII published in his bull Unam Sanctam, where he says that the temporal sword wielded by the prince should be subject to the spiritual sword of the church. So in the medieval Catholic view of the pope there, political power ought to be subject to state power, whereas the two kingdoms theory will tend to emphasize the separation, the distinction between the two powers. And of course, the separation of church and state may sound very modern, and it's beginning to be modern, but in fact, it really works pretty much one way. What the two kingdoms theory meant when Protestants used it was that the pope ought not to have temporal power. The pope ought not to be involved in practical power politics. So once again, the two kingdoms theory restricts the church much more than it does the state. In fact, the reformers were willing to appeal to the state to help reform the church. So the two kingdoms theory did a better job of separating the church from temporal power than it did in separating the state from spiritual power. Let's get to that point. The practical politics of the Reformation very often meant that the reformers appealed to the power of the state and asked the state to help reform the church. This happened both in the Lutheran Reformation in the north and in the Reformed tradition in the south, the Swiss Reformation. To begin with the Lutheran churches, they tended to be state churches. That's a long-term trend. The churches in Germany that were Lutheran were territorial churches under the auspices of the Lutheran princes, and then there were state churches in Scandinavia, in Denmark, Sweden, Norway. This is a familiar phenomenon in the English-speaking world because the Church of England in England is a state church. That means it's supported by the government, it's funded in part by the government. Many of the Lutheran state churches have the pastors being paid by taxes, right? They are officially state employees, right? This is not a familiar phenomenon in the United States because the First Amendment in the United States Constitution, which says there should be no establishment of religion, means that there is no established church, no state church in the United States. But there is in England, there is there was in places in Germany, and there is throughout Scandinavia. And that's typical of the Lutheran tradition. The Lutheran churches, for matters of practical politics, needed the protection of Lutheran princes and had to be fairly passive politically, fairly malleable for the purposes of the prince. That's one of the accusations that is often made against Lutheran churches and has some truth to it. The Calvinist churches, on the other hand, also established an alliance with political rulers, especially town councils rather than princes, right? You're in Switzerland, you don't have princes, you have town councils. And they often, in fact, established a very tight working relationship with town councils. Both Calvin and Zwingli did this. And that actually created a different political situation. The Calvinist churches ended up becoming typically not state churches, but either theocracies, like Calvin's Geneva, or dissident minority communities, as in France or England with the Huguenots or the Puritans. The difference actually, I think, is rooted in the situation of the Swiss Reformation, where you've got people like Calvin working closely with the town council, and that's advantageous to the town council as they throw off foreign domination. Right? You've got Italian politics, you've got various Habsburg dynasties trying to control Switzerland. And the Reformation is a really good rationale for throwing off this yoke of foreign domination.